Good morning, everybody. It's my privilege to share God's word with you this morning. It's not often that God changes the message midweek, but he changed the message this week. With all that happened, I felt that it was right to preach on some words that are really dear and close to our hearts. And actually, in an unusual moment for me, I don't actually mind how far through we get in the message. We'll stop when it's time. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing, because I might stop early, if you see what I mean. It's a privilege to be sharing from God's word with you. And we're going to look together at some words in 2 Corinthians, and actually some words from chapter 1, chapter 3, and chapter 4. The message is all about facing problems with God, facing problems with God. Paul speaks these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." We may get it up in the background, but in the meantime, it doesn't matter. Because do you know what? As we read those words together, there was probably, as you heard, a word that came up again and again and again. It's that word comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. You may or may not know this, but I'm asthmatic and was diagnosed when I was 18 months, and that means that I've experienced asthma for quite a long time. And as a child, when medication was not so good, you didn't have inhalers, they didn't exist, you just had what was called Ventolin syrup. I can taste it now. It was a sort of a strawberry taste, it was nice. It was this Ventolin syrup, it tasted really nice, but when I was having an asthmatic attack, an asthmatic problem, it would take about half an hour to an hour for that to kick in. And for a child of 3, 4, 5 years old, that's a long time. These days we've got inhalers, pretty much in 30 seconds it kicks in and you're not too bad, you know? But I remember really distinctly, even now, I'm 47, coming up 48, just giving it away so that, you know, so you don't have to do the maths. But I remember clearly the comfort of three things. The first was the comfort of my blanket. There was a little satin edge on the blanket. And my mum would put the blanket on me on the sofa, and I would be there, and I'd just rub the satin edge of the blanket, and it felt okay. You know, it felt like things would be all right. If you were around at this time or before, you will know that television was really limited to 3 channels, is that right? And that the channels you had available to you in the morning were pretty limited. In fact, most of what I had was some kind of a school learning one way or another. So there was the school programs that were going on. So folks, I did watch Open University Maths, which as a 5-year-old was pretty dull. But I think it got me excited in the shapes and the figures and stuff. I don't know. And I remember O-level physics as well. That was a funny old thing. So all these things, but I remember really clearly sort of clinging on to this little blanket and the satin feel of it. That was comfort number one. Comfort number two was the warm touch of my mother. My mum would come in and she would just touch me and she would hold me and she would stroke my head. It was wonderful. And the third touch actually was the cold touch of my dad when he'd come home from work. Because there's something lovely about your mum who looks after you all day, but then dad comes home and you feel like this strong, powerful character has entered the house and everything's going to be all right. I remember his cold touch from coming from the outside and those things which comforted me. And Paul speaks in these words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of comfort." The God of comfort. Who comforts us in all our troubles. I don't know if you've noticed this about the Christian life. There are still troubles. There are still problems. Have you spotted that? Anyone who became a Christian and expected it was going to sort out the problems in their lives was sorely mistaken and was probably sold the wrong thing. That you comfort us in our troubles. Why? Because there will be troubles. There will be problems. There will be difficulties. But the God of all comfort comforts us in our troubles, speaks peace and consolation to our hearts this morning, and the hearts of this church are bleeding for our spiritual father and mother, who've cared for us so much and now we care for them. who comforts us in our troubles. I'm thankful for parents who comforted me in my troubles when I was younger, because it spoke to me something of the God of comfort, who comforted me in my troubles in later life. Without doing this to death and without telling you too much, because I've spoken about it before, there was a time in my life when I felt very, very close to suicidal. And during those times, God was my comfort. And I clung to him in desperation. Why? Because I knew what comfort meant. I'd had the experience of being comforted by parents. And so when it came to the time in my late 30s, early 40s, when I needed comfort, and when I knew by this time that actually Dad wouldn't do, he was not strong enough. Have you discovered that? Did you remember that moment? I remember when I wrestled with Dad. We were about 16, 17 years old. We nearly went through the wall, and that was the last time we did it. Discovered that Dad was actually not all-powerful and all-strong, but there is a Father in heaven who is all-powerful, who is all-strong, who is all-knowing, and who comforts us and holds us in his love. God speaks into this congregation this morning. Like I say, I don't care how far we get or don't this morning. These words will do for us, won't they? Who comforts us in all of our troubles. Do you catch the next bit that's spoken? So that we can comfort others who are in trouble in their time of need with the comfort that we have received from God. Let me tell you something amazing about suffering. I never understood about suffering when I was reading it in the Bible. I was reading sort of when I was sort of 11, 12 years old. My dad challenged me and he said, read a chapter of the Bible every day. So I did. And you just kind of start with the stuff you can get your head around, yeah? Paul's letters, that's not too bad, isn't it? Sort of quite close and feels okay to us. All right, so now you're reading in the book of James, or you're reading in the book of Titus about the struggles and the sufferings and the problems, and hang on a minute, I don't know anything about this. I didn't really know much about it until I was in my late 30s. And then I discovered that all those words that were spoken about suffering, bringing forth character and perseverance and changing you on the inside for good and giving you a context for being able to speak to other people, were absolutely true. I remember saying to God, I want you to teach me, I want you to lead me, I want you to give me the opportunity to help people, to speak to people, to help others to grow, so I can grow myself, so I can help others to grow. God said, okay, then I'm going to put you through school. And I had trouble. Be careful about your prayers. I had trouble, I had problems, I had suffering, I had things I went through. Some of the things I went through are nothing compared with many Christians on the planet who suffer persecution, just as the Apostle Paul did. He knew all about this. He's preaching from knowledge, yeah? He was a man who was stoned for his faith. He was a man who was left for dead more than once. Here's a man who was beaten even though he was absolutely innocent. Here's a man who suffered some kind of illness. We don't quite know what it was, but he describes it as a thorn in the flesh. And he prays to God and says, take it away, Lord. And God says, no. I won't. It's like, wow. Here's a man who knows what it is to suffer for Christ. And yet he speaks into this and he says, you know what? When God comes in and comforts you, then you can take that and you can use that in a way that will bless others. I don't know if you've ever tried to counsel someone. You've never been through their circumstance. And there are no words, are there? I've discovered that when I go and I counsel someone I've been through their circumstance, there are still no words. But they know the difference. Because God, who comforts us, allows that comfort that we have received to flow out to others in a wonderful way, so that we may comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we have received from Christ. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so through Christ our comfort overflows to others. Do you want to know how they can tell that we're Christians? Because we love each other to death. Because our comfort and our consolation overflows to each other in such powerful and wonderful ways that you simply cannot avoid it. He is the God of all comfort who comforts us so that we can comfort others. A problem shared. I want to bring you these great words about shining faces. I want to tell you who we are. Sometimes we forget who we are, don't we? Within the suffering and the problems and the challenges of life, we forget who we are. This is who we are. Paul says, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, you know we're talking about the Ten Commandments, yeah? It came with glory. so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Here we sit in front of each other, and take a look around if you want, it's absolutely fine. And you can see around you people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. People who in whom God's Spirit lives right now. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by God. God lives within us. This is absolutely incredible. This is who we are. And even the old covenant, the old testament, the old agreement between God and people, yeah, when God wrote it down on tablets of stone. And Moses received that message. And as he went up to the mountain to see God, and he spoke with God, and he saw God almost as it were face to face, and he came back down again. His face was shining. So much so people couldn't look at him. It was like, wow, you're glorious. And Paul says that was nothing. Nothing compared with what we have. Do you know who we are? We are the shining, glorious, spiritual beings that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have a message that is more glorious than the face of Moses that shone. It's amazing who we are, isn't it? And then we go out into the world and no one knows who we are. And they haven't got it. But we know who we are. We know that we are glorious on the inside, that we've been changed, that we will never be the same. We know that there is a light within us, there is a power within us, there's a life within us that can flow forward. So just as the sufferings that we have experienced can come forward in comfort, so also the life that we have experienced can flow forwards in life to everyone that we meet. This is an incredible message, eh? And Paul can't help himself when he goes on in the chapter and says, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, you see, Moses had to veil his face, but we with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. You might think that we're wonderful in ourselves. We're not really. We're wonderful, but not because of us. Sometimes when you go outside at night, it's very dark, right? And sometimes it's quite light. And you know the difference? Not the streetlights, the moon. If it's a full moon, it's actually quite light outside. But the moon's got no light. It's just reflecting the glory of the sun. That's all it's doing. This, folks, is what we do. We go out into the world reflecting the Lord's glory. We who with unveiled faces, we take the veil off. We take anything which will get in the way of God and we take it away and we say, Lord, I look at you. I gaze upon you, I meditate on you, I let it seep deep into my soul. Why? So that I can reflect it back out in wonderful comfort and wonderful joy to everyone I meet, so that they might see my face and it might shine. Shine for you. We with unveiled faces, I plead with every person here to unveil your face, get into the presence of God. I don't know how you do this, I know how I do it, right? I put some music on, Christian music. I get into a small corner. It's often the corner between my bed and the wall. That's a crazy thing, eh? And I just meet with God. And I just think about one thought or two thoughts about God, and I let them play over and over in my head and say, Lord, speak to me about this, and let this be something wonderful happens. And God turns up. And sometimes I have to tell myself to be quiet because he wants to speak. It's the problem with speakers. We like to hear our own voice. Sometimes I've got to tell myself, be quiet, let God speak. And his glory breaks in. So I'll tell you what happens when God's glory breaks in that way. You're transformed. You're changed. You're never the same again. We who with unveiled faces, I plead with everybody, get into the presence in that way. With unveiled faces, reflect the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, says Paul as he comes to a crescendo at the end, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is a spiritual matter. Whatever's happening in our bodies today, folks, it makes no difference. God is Spirit, and he works in spirit and in truth within our lives. His Spirit communing with our spirit so that he can bring about his good purposes in us. Yes, folks, this is an amazing message. It's an amazing set of words. I'll never grow tired of these passages. I've preached on them before in this church, and I kind of didn't matter. I came to them again and thought, Lord, that's what we need for this morning. But, says Paul, we have this treasure in jars of clay. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, the most amazing thing possible. Do you know how fast light goes? No, nor do I. About 186,000 kilometers per second. Am I close? Or was it miles? I don't know. It's one or the other. There's a lot. I'm looking at all the scientists over here, seeing they're about to nod at me or not. It's fast. And God switched it on like that. Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Oh, this is really exciting stuff, isn't it? Ah, yes, says Paul, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Don't know if you ever watched the film Aladdin with the wonderful Robin Williams, who was voicing Aladdin, and he's talking all about the fact that this genie has awesome cosmic power in a little lamp. That's who we are. Awesome cosmic power. Pressed up together in these little, jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To show that this all-surpassing power comes from God, not from us. Shall I say it again? We are not special in ourselves, but we are special in Him. This thing that is within us, the Holy Spirit, God Himself living within us, the light of Christ, the truth, the wonder of everything that God has done within us is an amazement in ordinary pots. My second encouragement is to take a look around. Which one of us is extraordinary, hey? We're ordinary, right? There's not one film star in the whole place. I looked, I checked. There's not a rock star here either. There's not a high-ranking politician. There's nobody special here. It's just us. Jars of clay. Ordinary pots. We're not Ming vases, any one of us, right? But the all-surpassing power lives within. The glory of God lives within. The power of His presence is amongst us this morning. Here we are reflecting His glory. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Sometimes I feel more like a jar of clay than others, you know? Last week I was not very well, Thursday and Friday. I can tell you I took 3 tests, it's not COVID, so we're all safe, we're fine. And if I cough this morning, it's because I'm asthmatic, it's not because of COVID. So panic not, everybody. But I can tell you I didn't feel very well. I can tell you that I felt very much like the jar of clay. I didn't feel glorious. I didn't feel like the whole thing was wonderful within me. I felt absolutely rotten. I did. Because this body is a mortal body. One day it's going to die. Here's an amazing truth, though. You think of some of the other religions that are out there, and if you think about the one of our biggest religions of today is secularism. Basically believes the body will die and there's nothing else. Tragic. A big chunk of society believes that when we die, we're done. Oh, Lord, it's tragic, isn't it? One of the other big prevailing movements of our day is that kind of New Age movement, which sort of comes out of a form of Buddhism, which sort of says that really spirituality is all there is. It's only what's spiritual that matters, and the body is of no significance. In fact, if anything, the body is somewhat evil. Physical things are somewhat bad, and therefore all there is spiritual. And the Bible denies both of these things. The Bible says God has made us in our bodies and will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be in His likeness, so that we will live with Him forever. That's wonderful, isn't it? Because what this means is that whilst this body, this jar of clay right now, is somewhat infirm and imperfect and will not last forever, nevertheless, says God, I'm going to give you a new body. I'm going to change you from the inside out. I'm going to make you to be perfect forever in my presence. And I think that when we get to heaven, we will look at each other and know each other. You'll look at me and you'll know me. You'll say, that's Steve. And I'll look at you and I'll know you and I'll be able to see who you are, and our personalities will remain intact. I hate that idea in Buddhism of being joined to the great unknown out there somewhere. It's a terrible thing. This sort of impersonal approach of nirvana. What an awful thing. God says, I'm going to make you in my likeness to be yourselves, but to be with me forever, to be perfect. And these bodies, these jars of clay, will one day be transformed into His likeness, retaining all there is about being a person, retaining all that there is about being an individual, but at the same time being immortal forever. This all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Well, says Paul, what happens to us right now? He says, We're hard-pressed on every side. We really are. I've experienced that in my life. Hard-pressed on every side. Lord, it's not working. It's all falling down around me. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. But you like the next bit. But not crushed. But not crushed. We are perplexed. Yes, sometimes I am perplexed. Sometimes I don't know what to do with it. Sometimes I come to God and say, I've got no words. I don't even know what to ask. This is so terrible, I don't know what to do, Lord. But not in despair. Every time he lifts us up, persecuted, yes, but not abandoned. God is there for us. God comforts us. He comes alongside us. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here we are this morning in God's presence. Those people, as we look around to each other, you see the challenges, you see the problems. We've experienced together, haven't we, life, and we've seen how that's worked out. But we are not destroyed. I love what Mike said. Mike, I love what you said. The eight are still here. The foundation's still here. We've experienced all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of problems, but we are still here by his power. And that foundation that's been built remains because it's built on Christ and the knowledge of Christ. We are hard-pressed, but not crushed. Paul goes on to talk, therefore, in these words. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. The temptation is to lose heart, isn't it? When you face life and all its difficulties and the things that go on. I don't know if you've been in that situation where something's been troublesome and difficult and it's been like that for a week, and that's not good. Or a month, and that's hard. Or a year, and that's really hard. Or 5 years or 10 years, and that's really, really... I'm looking out. I can see the experience, the wisdom of the years, okay? Looking back at me going, yep, Steve, we know. And it is hard with the mask, so you can't see the smiles, but I'm telling you, I can see it, I know. It's hard, isn't it, when it's gone on like that? Therefore, we do not lose heart, says Paul. Whatever's happening to us, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Yes, we are. I don't know what age it is you're at your perfect peak. I saw some message about this on LinkedIn about when is the sweet spot between when you know enough and you've got enough wisdom, yeah? You can actually make a difference. But also you've still got enough energy to do something about it. I don't know, 30, 35? Who wants to bet on this? 40 maybe? I don't know. Above that, it's kind of all tailing off. Is that right? Yeah. And that's the problem. I don't know. Heavyweight boxers, well, they come into their own about 35, don't they? So maybe that's about, and prop forwards as well, about 35, I think. Or 30, 35. From then onwards, outwardly, we're wasting away. Well, that's not very good. It's about two-thirds of life, isn't it? Outwardly, we're wasting away. Ah, yes, says Paul, inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day as we look full in the face of Jesus with unveiled faces so that he might shine more of his light and his love within us, so that we might be changed to be more like him, so that we might outflow with that comfort to the whole world, so that there may be a changed people in this place that will reflect out to Fairwater and to the west of Cardiff. Inwardly renewed day by day. For, says Paul, our light and momentary troubles. Oh, well, that's because he didn't experience much, right? No, only beating, near death, shipwreck, false imprisonment. He was beaten by the Romans when he was a Roman citizen, and he told them actually afterwards that was wrong, and then they had to let him out of prison. Earthquakes. Paul faced nothing, right? He describes those as light and momentary troubles. Well, how on earth, how can Paul feel like this about it? Because here is a man who has recognized the weight of eternity. He's good at maths, Paul. He said to himself, calculations-wise, if I live to 80, and I measure that against eternity, which is infinity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and I'm going to do the percentage calculation. If all of this 80 years was bad and all of this eternity was good, I'll do the percentage calculation, how much was bad, and it disappears into its own smoke of logic, doesn't it? It's impossible. You can't divide anything by infinity. In other words, what Paul says is that the tiniest minutiae of percentage of existence is bad. Even if it is, it fades into insignificance compared with eternity in heaven with God, our light and momentary troubles. Did we catch it, church? This is who we are. We are spiritual beings of light who will live and last forever and enjoy God's goodness forever. And therefore, this period right now is light and momentary troubles, however hard it is, however difficult it is, whatever happens to us. Our light and momentary troubles. But let me tell you something more wonderful. I've always been amazed by this as I think about it. As I think about my salvation, right? So God steps into the world in the person of Jesus and he dies upon the cross and this is the way for my sins to be forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? And I can come into heaven. I'll praise you, Lord. That's good. That's more than good. It's amazing. But this is the bit that gets me every time, and I nearly almost get emotional about it, is that when we live for him, incredibly, even though he's given us it all, somehow we store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. How can that be? He has given us salvation. He has given us the energy. He's given us the very breath. He's given us life. He's given us everything we need. He's given us the impetus for faith. He's given us the spiritual gifts. And all he says is, can you use it, please? And when we do, he says, great, have treasure in heaven. Treasure! Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. This is grace. This is grace through and through. God says, as you give back to me, so I will give to you in spades. I don't know if you have a pension, and you have the ability maybe to check your pension and to see what level it's at and how it's growing, and then you can check about how you might be able to live in retirement, and then you panic a little bit and think, whew, it's going to be rough, isn't it? And you see the percentage growth that there is on that pension over time. You know, you might get 10%, maybe get 12%. Sure, that's all right, isn't it? Well, we might not be eating beans the whole time. We might be okay. But the percentage growth on the treasure in heaven that we are building up day by day as we live for him is incalculable. Shall we read the words again? Our light and momentary troubles, the things we're going through right now, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The percentage return is incalculable. It's in the thousands. So says Paul, what do we do with this? We fix our eyes. Not on what is seen. Now that's going to discourage us. We fix our eyes not on what is seen. That's going to take us away from reality. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary. This is 80, 90, maybe 100 years. I got this whole thing going on. I know I spoke about Jehoiada. Do you remember some time ago? And he lived till 130. I said, Lord, come on, let's have some of that. 130, that'll do us. Moses, who lived to 120 and walked up the mountain when he died. Oh, dear. Come on, let's have some of that, Lord. Yeah, okay. But that's tiny compared with the glory of eternity. What is unseen, what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. This is where we're going. This is what we have. This is our destiny. This is our inheritance. This, folks, is who we are. Take a look around at each other. Here we are. Spiritual beings of light that have been so infected and infested by the Holy Spirit that we can never be the same again. And God calls us today to be those people who will be so captured by both word and spirit that it cannot help but flow out from us in comfort, in joy, in love, and in blessing to everyone that we meet. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word that speaks to us and brings us comfort. Our Lord, we thank you for the truth of the knowledge of you and the knowledge of where we're going. You have put eternity into us. And we're so thankful that you have loved us to death. So much so that we will be with you forever. So Lord, let this be a time where we as people shine forth all that you are and all that you've done for us. Let us pour out love to those who need it. Let us pour out comfort to those who need it. Let us pour out your light. Let us be people of light in this world, people of your spirit, who are completely sold out and faithful to you in every way. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Work in hearts and change us, transform us by your great power. Yes, amen.